minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Thank you so much for making this part of your day. My name is Nick Schmitz, and I will be your host on this Sunday at the end of June. We are just about a month, a little under a month away, I believe, now from the start of training camp. It's coming. It's going to be here. It's going to be the end of July before we know it, and we're going to have training camp and then preseason. And the regular season is going to be here before we know it. It's exciting times for football in general. But, you know, we're still in the middle of June. You know, the biggest news in the last week for the Green Bay Packers is the fact that they released Kurt Benkert, which really isn't news other than the fact that he's a local legend. But so we're still a little bit in that down period. You know, again, right now we're at the time of the summer where no news is probably good news for the Packers. If we're not hearing anything, it means there's no injuries, not a whole lot going on. So, but, you know, the season is going to be here before we know it. And I know the big question on everyone's mind is, you know, what is this offense going to look like now that Devontae Adams is no longer a part of it? You know, obviously, if he's not the best receiver in the league, he's top three for sure. So, you know, it's hard to replace that production. And, you know, Gage and I, we thought we would kind of talk about the passing game this coming season, especially the wide receiver group, and kind of focus a little bit to mostly on, you know, a theory that, you know, depending on how you look at it, this idea that, you know, maybe the offense and the passing game will look better this year simply because you won't have Aaron Rodgers trying to force feed Devontae Adams all the time. Now, granted, you know, when you have the best receiver and the best quarterback in the league, that typically works out well for you. But as we've seen in the past, it's not always a recipe for success. So, Gage, I mean, we were talking before the show started here, you know, Green Bay, obviously one of the big talking points when they traded Devontae Adams, you know, earlier in March was the fact that Green Bay, I think it's within the last 3 years, Devontae Adams has missed 7 games and the Packers have won all of those games. And so just let's start there. I mean, the simple question of will the offense be better without Devontae Adams is, you know, we don't know right now, but this idea that just because Devontae Adams isn't here anymore that the passing game is going to suck, I don't think is fair. I mean, there's a lot to be said about what Aaron Rodgers has been able to do without Devontae Adams. And again, I've said all along, the last 3 years, Green Bay won 13 games each of those 3 seasons, not because of Devontae Adams, but because Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback. So, I mean, you know, it's obviously going to look different this year with no Devontae Adams on the field, but I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing, right?
Well, I don't know if I would say not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, well, obviously today we're arguing the idea that the offense can be better, the passing game can be better, but like if Devontae Adams is not on the field, yeah, no, the team's not going to be as talented. Devontae Adams, like you said, if he's not the best receiver in the NFL, he's top three. Well, I'm here to tell you, he's top two and he ain't two. Devontae Adams is a damn good football player, and I am going to miss watching him on Green Bay this season and for all of his seasons to come. I love the chemistry that he had with Rodgers, his ability to get open at any time, no matter the coverage, didn't matter if he threw 3 guys at him, he was going to get open. That's just what he does. He's that good. It doesn't matter that he's not the fastest guy, not the biggest guy, not the most athletic guy, whatever. He just figured out a way to make it work at all the time. And so ultimately, you messaged me earlier today and said, what do you want to do for a topic? And I kind of thought about it of this team has had Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers has gone to him. We saw in the playoff game against the 49ers, he may have gone to him a little too much. He was trying to constantly get him looks and constantly get him targets, which I get it. That's your best guy. That is your guy. That is the one you want to feature. Sometimes you have to be able to look to other people. And looking at the roster, there's no guy that's on it currently that you're going to say, oh, well, he'll just feature that guy now. No, Randall Cobb's not that guy anymore. Alan Lazard's not that guy anymore, is not that guy. Sammy Watkins isn't that guy. There's not a guy on the roster that really you can make the argument, oh, he's going to be able to do this. So that's why I think that now, instead of, all right, Davante Adams is going to take all this pressure, which makes everybody else's life easier. Now, I think everyone is going to be so much of a weapon or so much of a threat, because we know that LaFleur can get anybody open. That's his scheme, gets people open all the time. And everyone assumes that that's just, oh, Davante took so much pressure onto himself. That's why everybody else had such an easy time. But I don't think it's that. I think the system is good. And I think that he's going to be able to scheme guys open. And as long as guys play within the system, Aaron's going to have open throwing lanes all over the place. And so that's kind of why I was like, I think it's a legitimate possibility where it may not be the same. Everyone's like, oh, well, there's 30 seconds left in the game. Rodgers, Davante are there. It doesn't matter what we do, because they're going to go complete 2 30-yard passes, get in a field goal range, win the game. I think that they can still do stuff like that. It'll look different. It might be better. It'll look different, but it'll be better at the end of the day.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it's an interesting, I was having this conversation with my dad not that long ago that, you know, when Brett Favre was, you know, first quarterback of the Packers, he had Sterling Sharp for his first 2 or 3 years. And then Sterling Sharp, you know, had that neck injury that ended his career. But, you know, I think it's fair to say that Sterling Sharp was on a Hall of Fame career path had he not had that injury. And, you know, just this idea that, you know, Brett had to go from, you know, Sterling Sharp, who he could trust, you know, all the time to make the right play and make the big play, and then all of a sudden didn't have him. And, you know, it made Favre be a different quarterback in the sense that he had to look elsewhere. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. And, you know, one of the frustrations that I've always had over the years with Davante is, as great as he is, there were just games. And, you know, the divisional round this past year was a perfect example. And we've seen it, you know, ad nauseum, that last deep ball that Aaron threw to Davante where he was double covered. And I believe it was Lazard who ran a deep in route and he was wide open. And yet, because of the way the game was going, Aaron just tried to force it to Davante, which, I mean, if you're going to force it to somebody, I mean, yeah, he's probably the best guy to try to do so. But it's also frustrating as a fan to go back and look at that and say, well, if Aaron had just, you know, trusted what was going on the field, you know, that game may have turned out differently. And so not relying solely on one receiver to, you know, make the plays for you, you know, it's a big deal. But I mean, you know, Gage, we were looking at some of these numbers that, you know, from 2019 to, you know, just last year, you know, 7 games without Davante Adams, you know, most of these stats that we're looking at for Aaron Rodgers are actually better when he's not in the game as opposed to the ones where he is. And so, I mean, you know, it's going to look different, but I mean, I think there's maybe a little too much emphasis, Gage, put on, you know, what Green Bay is losing as in the sense that, I mean, yes, is Randall Cobb what he used to be? No, but that doesn't mean that he's a bad wide receiver now. You know, again, same with Alan Lazard. Is Alan Lazard, you know, Davante Adams ask? No, but he's not a bad receiver. We've seen that over the last 2 years that he's actually, you know, pretty talented. And, you know, and then you have Sammy Watkins, which, I mean, you know, that's kind of an unknown right now. We don't know how that's going to turn out, but, you know, it's not like Green Bay is, you know, deprived of any good talent out there.
Yeah, they're not putting out you and me. Like, we're right. Not going out there.
Right, yeah.
These are all NFL caliber guys. There's, like you mentioned, Randall Cobb has made a Pro Bowl before. Granted, it was one, but he made one. Sammy Watkins, I don't know if he's made a Pro Bowl, but he's been a NFL-level receiver. He's been on multiple teams now. He continues to get contracts. He clearly is good enough to be in the league still. Alan Lazard has been a decent player. You have Amari Rodgers, who I think he can take a big step in year two. He struggled a lot in year one, didn't really get his feet under him on offense, couldn't ever really get the whole receiving game down, but I think he could take a big step next year. Christian Watson, your second round pick this year, I get that everybody just wants to watch the Twitter clips and see, oh, he dropped another pass. There's another guy who last year, I don't know if anybody knows the name, Ja'Marr Chase. He struggled with drops all offseason. All offseason, everyone's like, oh, leave him for dead. He can't catch a ball. He can't catch it in the NFL level. He was a one-year superstar. He's never going to do anything. Ja'Marr Chase isn't that guy. And then he went on and was the star receiver for a team that was runner-up in the Super Bowl and was less than 6 minutes away and was some spectacular plays by the Rams away from winning a Super Bowl. Christian Watson's got talent. Romeo Doubs has got talent. There is still talent on this roster. And we're just focusing on receivers. We're not even mentioning a guy who is also going to see a big uptick in output. Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones, without Devontae Adams in the game over the last few years, has been a spectacular receiving weapon. And no one really thinks about it because no one thinks about running backs when it comes to when they think about the whole like receiving game. They think, oh, okay, wide receivers and tight ends. But it's actually been a lot more than that. You have a guy in Aaron Jones who, in games without Devontae Adams, in the seven games, he has averaged 26 PPR points per game. I know this isn't a fantasy podcast, but that's the stats that I have here. He averages 5.14 receptions per game compared to 2.95 receptions per game. He averages 6.71 targets compared to 3.95 targets, and he averages 55.43 receiving yards compared to 21.68. So he nearly triples his receiving yards production. He sees just under three receptor target per game increase and just over two reception per game. And that's just in a seven game sample size. I understand it's a small sample, but that's what we have to work with here because we're working with over the last 3 years under Matt LaFleur. When Devontae Adams has been out, what has the team done? Aaron Jones stepped up. He's been a guy. And so even if your receivers aren't all studs and we're completely replacing him, you have Aaron Jones and other guys on the roster that can take up that mantle. That's the whole point here. The offense isn't going to look the same because Devontae Adams is gone. You have to replace the production. It just won't be the same way. Maybe a receiver doesn't do it. Aaron Jones does it. You put him outside more, maybe in the slot, kind of like Christian McCaffrey does for the Panthers. And then you have AJ Dillon on the field. So now everybody's got to worry about, okay, they have two running backs. Oh, one running back's going out there. Are they going to set up for something for Jones? Is AJ Dillon getting the ball out of the backfield? What are we going to do? That's the benefit of having all of these weapons all over the place. Yeah, you don't have the superstar wide receiver, but you have everything else, and that kind of makes up for it.
Yeah, well, and I mean, you know, the other thing to be said, even just a small thing to be said about it is that, okay, yeah, it's a small sample size of the seven games that Devontae Adams missed with the Packers, and they're 7-0 in those games. One thing that it speaks highly to, though, Gage, is the fact that between Aaron Rodgers and the coaching staff and the team that they have, they were able to figure that out. Now, I mean, does that mean that Green Bay is now going to win every game this year because Devontae Adams isn't playing? No, but I mean, this idea that, you know, you got to have them in order to win games, I mean, that's clearly not the case. Green Bay has been able to figure it out. And the other thing is, too, is, and I'm sure Aaron and the coaching staff has pretty much told this to the wide receiver room, like, the reality is when you lose somebody of Devontae Adams, you know, stature, somebody's got to fill that void. And they all know that. Somebody has to step up in his place. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to become Devontae Adams level player, but it's, all right, in those big moments, who's going to step up? Who's going to make those plays? And they all know that they have that opportunity now. And I think some of it is, too, Gage, that in Aaron Rodgers' career, we've been pretty spoiled at the wide receiver position. I mean, you think when Aaron Rodgers took over, now, regardless of what you think of the player now, Greg Jennings, when he was in his prime in Green Bay, was a stud wide receiver. Donald Driver was a stud wide receiver. You had Jordy Nelson. You had James Jones. You've had Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb. I mean, you know, that is a pretty, you know, stellar list to be in the company of. And it's a little bit like the quarterback situation for the past 30 years for the Packers. You've had Brett Favre and you've had Aaron Rodgers, and we're just used to having great players at that position. Same thing with the wide receiver room in most of Aaron Rodgers' career. We've been used to having guys that we know that Aaron Rodgers can count on in the passing game. And we're heading a little bit into that unknown territory right now. I mean, as far as this roster looks from last year, I mean, Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard are like the guys that I think everybody would say we trust the most just because we've seen them play the most for this team right now. But, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be a fall off. So there's a little bit of being spoiled by having great receivers. And again, I mean, I remember when Greg Jennings was drafted. At that time, I said, who's that? And like, why are we spending a second round pick on him? Same thing with James Jones when he was drafted. You know, so you've got a lot of these young guys that are, you know, have been drafted that, you know, maybe you didn't know who they were and they turn out to be, you know, the level of, you know, Jordy Nelson or James Jones or Devontae Adams. So, I mean, only time will tell with that. But, you know, it certainly isn't, you know, it's not doom and gloom. And, you know, these guys, they just have to step up. And the reality is, Gage, you know, one of them is going to have to step up and fill that void. And they all know that they have the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, like I said, at the very beginning of this, when I thought of the idea, I wouldn't have suggested it if I didn't think it was legitimately possible. Also, for those that don't know, Devontae Adams has been in the NFL for 8 seasons. This will be his 9th season. I went and I checked the notes. I ran the numbers. I went and just checked the full details and all the game logs. Devontae Adams has never won a Super Bowl. Fun fact, 8 teams have won Super Bowls in the time that Devontae Adams has been in the NFL. So, for those of you keeping track at home, that means that just because you have Devontae Adams doesn't guarantee you a Super Bowl. And just because you don't have him doesn't guarantee that you won't win a Super Bowl. The Rams didn't have him and they won one. The Bucs didn't have him. They won one. Chiefs didn't have him. They won one. I can go all the way back. Just because you don't have Devontae Adams and don't have a superstar doesn't mean you can't win one. I mean, the Rams had Cooper Kupp. Great. They had a superstar wide receiver but they had a lot of other stuff to go with it. They had Aaron Donald. They had Jalen Ramsey. And I'm going to take a quick look at the Packers roster. We have Kenny Clark. We have Jair Alexander. We have Darnell Savage. We have Adrian Amos, Rashawn Gary. You have a stud superstar. You have a ton of talent on your offensive line. As long as David Bakhtiari comes back healthy, you have Elgton Jenkins comes back healthy. I don't think he's going to start the season. I think he's going to be back a few weeks in. But there is a lot of talent on this roster. And you don't – just because you don't have Devontae Adams doesn't mean you're not going to win a Super Bowl. That's – only one team can win every single year. Only one. I know that it's impossible to believe. Everyone thinks, oh, my team's a lock to win. No. No team is locked to win. That's why they play the games. Because if the team that was the lock to win – won the championship in whatever sport they were in, the Nets, I'm pretty sure the Nets would have won this one. And then they would have won the year before. They're 0-2. If you go into every season thinking, oh, we lost at guy X, so therefore we can't win. That's not how it works. Matt LaFleur has given us enough confidence to this point that he can figure it out. He's done it 3 years in a row. As you mentioned, Nick, they've won 13 games each of the past 3 seasons. They've made it to the NFC Championship game twice. They went to the divisional round and took a special teams just stepping all over themselves. Special teams couldn't get out of their way if they tried. And that's what it took to keep Bay from going to the NFC Championship game again. And I think if they make the NFC Championship game, I think they win because I think that they have a better week. I honestly hate when Green Bay has the bye in the playoffs. I know most people love the bye or love having home field advantage. I hate Green Bay having the bye because I think they play terrible off of them. I don't know if it's just recency bias or what. They historically, I don't think they play very well coming off the bye. They come up short, they come out flat. And if they win, it's because somebody, either the team they were playing against came out flatter or the team that they're playing against, or if they just, they got lucky and they got hot at the right time. So I think that Green Bay is still a talented team. I would still put them as – I think I'd put them still as the favorite in the NFC. I mean, it's either them or LA. I'm not putting San Francisco in there. I think that they got a little lucky last year with I think Jimmy G isn't going to play as well. I love Trey Lance as much as anybody, but I don't think that he's ready to take them to that next step yet. So I think that they're going to end up being in a bit of a goal, I guess you could say. So I think the Green Bay should be just as much of a Super Bowl contender and one of the NFC favorites just as much as anybody else is. Just because Davante Adams is in Vegas doesn't mean that I'm just going to write this team off.
Yeah, well, and I was thinking too while you were talking there, I was watching some highlights of past playoff games for the Packers, and there's one season that comes to mind that really makes me I don't know if hopeful is the right word, because I mean, I've been hopeful from the beginning, or you know, feel good about this wide receiver core. But the year that Jordy Nelson, 2015, the year Jordy Nelson tore his ACL, Green Bay signed James Jones, who they had cut and who had gone to the Raiders, and he had been cut from the Raiders and the Giants in the same preseason. And they brought him back because he was a familiar face. And James Jones that year, while as good as he was in that season, he at that point was not over the hill, but he wasn't what he was when he was on that Super Bowl team. And he was the number one receiver on that roster. It was him and then Randall Cobb and then what? Jared Aberderis, Jeff Janis, guys of those names. And that Packers team, you know, they went 10-6. They made the playoffs. They had that unbelievable run against the Cardinals that they lost in overtime. But I mean, when you have James Jones as your number one wide receiver in a year where he's signed simply because Jordy Nelson tears his ACL, you know, it's a testament to Aaron Rodgers and what he can do. And this coaching staff is great. This defense is great. Aaron Rodgers isn't going to have to score 31 points a game every week in order to get this Packers team a win. So, you know, this wide receiver room is going to be fun to watch. Cause again, like I said, somebody's going to have to step up, and I know somebody will. It's just, we don't know who it's going to be as of right now.
By the way, just to answer your question, so James Jones led the team with 50 catches, 890 yards. Randall Cobb, 79 catches, 829 yards. So he was first on the team with 129 targets. Third on the team in targets was Davante Adams. He had 50 catches for 483 yards, only scored one touchdown. But the name you missed, I don't know how you overlooked it, has one of the most iconic catches in Aaron Rodgers' career. I'm going to give you one guess.
Richard
Rodgers. One of the most iconic catches. It is Richard Rodgers. Had 58 catches for 510 yards and 8 touchdowns.
So did they have a single receiver that year with 1,000 yards receiving?
No. James Jones led them with 890.
So 890. They still won 10 games that year. And was it as pretty as
they didn't have any 1,000-yard rushers either. Eddie Lacy led the team with 758 yards. James Starks had 601. Aaron had 344. And they still made the playoffs.
Yep. And I mean, I know that was a, you know, that was a rough year for them, but I mean, they still made the playoffs, and you know, they won one road playoff game, and they were very close to beating the Cardinals that year too. So I mean, you know, and this, by the way, this team this year is infinitely better than that 15 team. That roster, I would, without being able to look at the entirety of that roster, I'd be willing to bet pound for pound this Packers team is far better than that one. Even with the absence of Davante Adams.
I have the roster up in front of me, and I can confirm the team is better. Starting defense, you had Mike Neal and Julius Peppers as your starting outside linebackers. You had Jake Ryan and Nate Palmer and Clay Matthews were your starting inside linebackers. Jake Ryan started 14 games. Nate Palmer started 10. Or no, Jake Ryan started 5. Nate Palmer started 10. Matthews started all 16 games at right inside linebackers, what he was officially listed as. Morgan Burnett played 11 games. Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, 16 games. Demarius Randall was that season. Had Micah Hyde as the guy that would occasionally get to be on the field. Mike Daniels was out there, and also had Sam Shields. So that was your B.J. Raji played 15, had half a sack. Mike Pinnell was not a great group.
Of all those names, Sam Shields is maybe the only one that I would take from that roster and put on this one. And that's a maybe. I don't even know if I would take him. Because that was later on in his career, I feel like.
I'm sitting here and I'm looking through it. And, like, are you talking, like, their peak or, like, their peak that season?
Yeah.
Because that Clay Matthews is a long in the tooth Clay Matthews. Sam Shields, and that was his third to last season. Overall, he played 12 games that year. He played, obviously, 2016, he played one game with Green Bay. 2018, with the Rams, came back, played a season. And then that was his last year. So, yeah, he was near the end of his career at that point. Julius Peppers did have 10.5 sacks that season, for what it's worth. I can't remember off the top of my head if that was, like, a very unique, like, he had a couple games where he just beat up on a bad tackle or something, but he did have 10.5 sacks. But yeah, that defense was not bringing a lot. Inside linebacker, there's no argument they've improved. Like, it's not even a question. Mike, they definitely improved over Mike Neal, who I love as a player, just from the, like, he's a fun guy to root for, but they've improved over him. So yeah, I think that they've improved pretty in a way. Also, nope, I lied. There's a guy that you ignored, Micah Hyde. I would take Micah Hyde and put him on this team.
Oh, sure. Yep. Okay. Yeah. I
would definitely take Micah Hyde. I mean, I would take Micah Hyde now. Not even just then. I would take Micah Hyde now. He's flat out good. I still hate that they let him go, but we're getting a little off topic. Back to your original point here. This roster is definitely better than that 2015 roster.
Yes. And so I think Green Bay is going to be just fine. Again, as I've said in the past, Green Bay is winning games this year because Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback. As long as he is taking snaps, this team is going to win. Now, maybe they don't win 13 games this year because you lose a little bit of production on the offense with Devontae not being here, but this team in the passing game is going to be just fine. They're going to figure it out. And at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers is going to have to figure it out with these guys because he doesn't have the option of going to Devontae Adams. It's not like in the past where he's like, all right, I got to get through 2-3 weeks with maybe Devontae Adams being out. It's nope, I've got to get through an entire season of no Devontae Adams. And this is just life now. It's life after Devontae Adams. They're going to figure it out. They're going to be competitive. They're more than likely going to win their division. So, you know, it's going to look different, but different doesn't always mean bad. So, well, with that, Gage, let's wrap up for the day. People want to follow you on Twitter, follow your work. It's at G Bridgeford NFL. What have you got going on as of late for content?
As of late, I have been slacking off like a true young person, and just I'm not putting in a lot of effort, just kind of slacking off and just getting by around the margins. No, I still doing my weekly Denver Stiffs column, Film Friday over there. Links to that always on my Twitter. Probably going to be putting out some more content here with Roto Baller and Dynasty Nerds over the next couple of months. I know that we at Roto Baller are working on our preseason content this week and getting stuff kind of scheduled out for that. So any work that I'm going to be doing, though, is going to be found over on my Twitter rather than making you guys run around to too many different websites that I'm working on.
All right, perfect. And you can follow me on Twitter at ProducerNickLB. Again, not super active on the Twitter machine, but I'm there from time to time. I like to just scroll and see what everybody else has to say. So, Gage, the next time we will talk, it'll be July 3rd. We'll be into July already, and it'll be right before the 4th of July. So if you are listening and doing anything over the 4th of July, make sure to make us part of your trip. If it's you're out fishing, boating, whatever, make sure to get your Packers content in over your 4th of July weekend. And, you know, we're going to, like I said, training camp's going to be here before we know it. And we'll keep you covered on everything going on at 1265 Lombardi Avenue. And so just looking forward to training camp, and then preseason and the start of the season will be here. It's going to be a fun year. So with that being said, thank you everybody so much for listening again. And as always, go Pack, go.